Awesome. Well, I'll try and speak for about 25, 30 minutes, and then give us about 15 minutes just to really pray together and ask the Holy Spirit just to fill us afresh and worship and see what God wants to do, and then we'll try and be out of here for 7:30. But again, I want to kind of just continue on this theme of enlargement and increase and all that kind of stuff. And there's a quote, I'm not quite sure who said it originally, but the quote was this, that men look for better methods, but God looks for better men.
Yeah.
Of course, when I say men, we include women in that as well. But men looks for better methods, God looks for better men. And it's so easy sometimes when you kind of look at something like enlargement or increase, you can kind of look at it from the point of view of what we do. So in other words, what we do, we want to see increase. So we want more evangelism, we want more prayer, we want more whatever, you know, more kids work, more youth work. And we often think we want to see what we do increase. But who knows that God works through us? So actually, we're the ones that need to increase. We're the ones that need to enlarge. And as we increase, what we do will increase. As we enlarge, what we do will enlarge. And so, really, my prayer tonight, and I hope it's your prayer, and we're going to pray together in a few minutes, is this. God, would you enlarge me? Amen? Don't just enlarge what I do, but God, would you enlarge me? I want my capacity to be enlarged. I want my faith to be enlarged. I want my anointing to enlarge. I want my authority to enlarge. Because if I am enlarged as a leader, if I am enlarged as a Christian, then what I do will be enlarged as a result of that. A great scripture, if you're speaking on enlargement, increase, I'm sure that you will have looked at this one, I'm sure, as you've been kind of on this theme over the past few months. 1 Chronicles 4, the prayer of Jabez. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And similar, in fact, to Onesimus, in that, you know, naturally got quite a bad name, pain, useless, and yet God turned it around. God does stuff like that, doesn't he? Yeah. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. I want you to notice there, he prayed, "God, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." In other words, before he prayed for the enlargement of territory, he prayed that he himself would be blessed. Now, we want our territory to be enlarged. We want to see more people saved. We want to see more disciples. We want to see the kingdom of God increase here in Rochdale. Amen?
Amen.
But before that, we as leaders have to look at ourselves and say, "God, would you bless? God, I need your blessing. God, I need your anointing. God, I need your power. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your grace. God, I want your hand to be with me. And God, I know that if you can pour into me, then what you do through me will be enlarged." Amen?
Amen.
Again, another quote, and I don't know who said it originally, but quote is this, that without God, man cannot. But without man, God will not. In other words, we can't do anything without him.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But here is the responsibility that we have as a church. God chooses not to do anything unless he does it through his church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, sometimes people have kind of some weird theology, which is, you know, God will send revival, but he will bypass the church. You know, that God will just suddenly move in a pub or in somewhere, and he'll just completely bypass the church. But that is actually not what the New Testament teaches. If God is going to move here in Rochdale, it's going to be through his church.
Yes.
Amen. Now, it might not be every church in Rochdale, but if God's going to work, it's going to be through his church. And so, as a byproduct of that, that means through me and you. Amen. Amen. So God, if you're going to increase your kingdom, if you're going to enlarge your kingdom, God, if your presence is going to move in this town and in this community and in this region, it's going to be through us. So therefore, God, would you enlarge me? God, would you bless me? God, would you fill me with your spirit and with your power and with your anointing? You remember that Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth says he could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible that he didn't say that Jesus chose not to do miracles? It says he could not do any miracles. In other words, their lack of faith limited what God could do, what Jesus could do. So again, we're talking about enlargement, expansion, addition. Powerful stuff, amen? And yet, I mean, this is Isaiah 54, so this was written to the Jewish people. And yet those same Jewish people who knew that scripture, when God came to do it, they limited it. They restricted it because of their lack of faith. I think again, it's another scripture. I think it's in Isaiah, which speaks of the children of Israel, or maybe a psalm, I can't quite remember, but it says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. The limitless one was limited by his people. So if God chooses to work through me and you, which he does, if me and you are the vessels in which God wants to pour out his spirit through, and we're the channels of his love, and we're the channels of his grace, and we're channels of his power, then we have to be the ones that don't limit or restrict what God wants to do through us. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to pray, God, would you enlarge me?
Yes.
God, would you increase me? God, would you increase my vision? God, would you increase my anointing? God, would you increase my faith? God, would you increase your power in my life? Ephesians 3, Paul makes this incredible statement. He said that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Who knows that God is limitless? Amen? And do you know that your spirit is limitless? Paul says that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen.
There are no limits to the measure of God that is available to me and you. Who thinks that's incredible?
Yeah.
Who knows? It doesn't matter how big your building gets, there's a limit to it. Doesn't matter how many programs you put on, there's a limit to them. The only thing in the church that is limitless is your spirit. Because it has the capacity to be filled to all the measure of the fullness of the limitless one.
Amen. Come on.
So you can have as much of God as you choose. You can have as much of the presence of God in your life as you desire. You can have as much of the anointing of God as you desire. Because God chooses to live in your spirit. And your spirit has the capacity to be filled up the measure of the fullness of God. So come on, we want increase. We want enlargement. So God, let it start in me. And you will never get to a point where God's giving you too much. There is always more of Him available. There's always more of His presence and power and glory available. So let us take the limits off tonight. Let us take the restrictions off tonight and say, God, I want more of you. Capacity is the key. Now, sometimes when our church has not had a church building for quite some time, and so we'll often kind of look at higher venues, higher buildings, all that kind of thing. And quite often, we'll say, what's the capacity of that building? Can we fit 50 in there? Can we fit 200 in there? Can we fit 300? What's the capacity? But your spirit, there is no limit. There is no capacity where God says, that's enough. The only capacity, the only thing that puts a limit and restriction on our ability to increase and be filled with God is our own lack of desire and our own lack of hunger.
Wow.
So this is where this begins. This begins in you saying, God, enlarge me. This begins in you saying, God, increase my capacity. God, increase my desire. Increase that sense of your presence in my life. Job 36, verse 16. This is a great verse. Job 36, verse 16 says this. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction. To the comfort of your table, laden with choice food. This is a powerful promise from God. God says, I'm going to break you out of restriction. I'm going to break you out of limitation. And I'm going to put you in a place where there are no restrictions. Who would like to be in that place?
Yeah.
Where there are no, God is pouring in and pouring in and pouring in without restriction. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Then He tells us what that place is. He says, to your table, laden with choice food. Whenever you read that word table in the Bible, it speaks of communion. It speaks of fellowship. It speaks of intimacy with God. God is showing us that the place where there are no restrictions is the place of fellowship and communion with God. How do you increase your capacity as a leader, as a child of God, as a believer? How do you increase your capacity? Simply by coming to the table and spending time in His presence. I don't know if anyone here has ever fasted before. I don't know if anyone here has maybe ever fasted for more than 24 hours. Maybe you've done a 2-day or a 3-day fast or even longer. But do you know what I found? Sometimes I've done a 21-day fast or a month fast when I've not eaten at all for that length of time. And kind of day two into it, you kind of think, I can't wait till this is to be over, because the first thing I'm going to do is get to the Toby Carvery and I'm going to pile up, all you can eat buffet, as much as I want, or the Pizza Hut buffet, all you can eat. But you know what you find is this. You go a week without eating. You go 2 weeks without eating. And actually your appetite has lessened. And your stomach has shrunk. And your capacity has got smaller. So actually when it comes to eating, the first time after 2 weeks or whatever, actually you only want something small because your capacity has shrunk. But, and some of us might know this more by experience than others, who knows, the more you eat, the greater your capacity. Don't look at anyone. I'm not looking at anyone right now. Now listen, in the kingdom it's the same thing. If you only feed on God once a week on church, on a Sunday morning, you know what? Your capacity for God is going to shrink. But you know what? As leaders, we should be first worshippers. We should be the most hungry people in the church. We should be the most passionate people for God in the church. We should be continually feeding on the Word of God. We should be continually praying and seeking God and going after the presence of God. Our whole life should be filled with a pursuit for Him and His presence. And you know what that will do? Our capacity will increase. Yeah. And then when we stand before people to minister, it's men and women who are giants in the kingdom who are ministering. So who knows, that's what we need in this generation.
Yes.
Who knows what we got this to see God really move in our nation. It's not, God's not just looking for kind of nice men and women who have got some good ideas and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We need men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Filled with the power of God. Full of faith, full of boldness, full of authority. God, will you increase my capacity? God, would you enlarge me? God, I want to come daily to your table and I want to feast on your word. I want to feast on your presence. Jesus said, come to me and abide in me. And if you abide in me, you will bear fruit and fruit that will remain. Who wants what we do to be fruitful? We want the kids' work to be fruitful. We want the youth work to be fruitful. We want our outreach to be fruitful. We want everything we do to be fruitful. What is the key to fruitfulness? Jesus said, abide in me. Make my presence your priority. Make intimacy and communion with me your number one goal. Then God says, I'll do the enlargement. I'll do the increase. I'll do the expansion. You will bear fruit, and you know what? When I do it, your fruit will remain.
Yes.
When you do it, you might be fruitful for a season, but when I do it through you, your fruit will be eternal. But the secret is abiding in Him, spending time with Him, being intimate with Him. God, would you enlarge my capacity for you? God, I'm hungry for you. God, I am thirsty for you. Bible tells us that He fills the hungry and the thirsty with what? Good things. He wants to be filled with good things.
Amen.
Amen? So therefore God, He will only fill the hungry. He will only fill the thirsty. So if you ever come to a place in your life where your lack of hunger limits God, increase can't take place. Enlargement can't take place. But if you create the space, God will fill it. If you create the room, God will fill it. Jesus said in John 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. By this he had the Spirit who is yet to be given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. I think one of the most, you know, challenging words in that whole verse is the word if. If anyone is thirsty. Jesus is there saying, you know, Jesus is a realist.
Yeah.
He said, you know what, there's going to be some people that are not thirsty. But if there is anyone thirsty, and they come to me, there's a river available to them. As leaders, we should be the thirstiest people.
Yeah.
We should be the most desperate people. We should be the most passionate people. We should be the first to respond to every altar call for more of God. We should be the first at the prayer meeting. We should be the ones that are in the Word. We should be the ones that are just so hungry for Jesus. And yet sometimes I've found it in church leadership that something strange, that people can be really hungry for God until they get that title of a leader. And then suddenly, for whatever reason, it's almost like, oh, I made it now. And suddenly they're coming less to the prayer meeting. They're responding less to the moving of the Spirit. And the very thing that got them to where they are, they no longer do. And so they never go to that next level in God. Jesus wrote to a church in Book of Revelation, didn't he? He said, you're not hot, you're not cold. He said, you do great things, but you've lost your first love. And he said, repent, do what you did at first. You're here because you were hungry for God. You were passionate for God. You had a desire for God. If we want that enlargement, if we want that increase, our hunger, our passion, our desperation for God, that has to increase. That has to emerge. There's a group of men in the Old Testament who came to the prophet Elisha and said, the place where we meet is too small. Now, we often think of that in terms of like, oh, buildings, or the building that we meet is too small. But think of that spiritually. God, the place where I meet with you is too small. God, I need to create more room in my life to meet with you. I need to create more space in my life for God encounters. Yes. When was the last time you had an encounter with God? When was the last time you experienced the presence and the glory of God in your life? For some, maybe you've never really had that before. Friends, how can we take our church into those deeper levels in God if we've not been there ourselves? And maybe for some, maybe we once had that, but maybe it was some time ago. But I just feel that stirring of the Spirit of God tonight saying, come on, is anyone here hungry? Is anyone here thirsty? Is anyone here desiring that my anointing would increase, my presence would be enlarged in their life? There's so much available, and yet we settle for so little. The great healing evangelist Smith Wigglesworth, who saw dead people raised in his ministry, and this was a man that would, you know, sometimes he would get on a train and the person opposite him who didn't know him, you know, who he was or anything, would say, I don't know what it is, but the moment you got onto this train, I was convicted of my sin. What can I do to get saved?
Come on.
You know, he saw cancers healed and cripples walk. Incredible miracles. I think it was something like 17 people he saw raised from the dead. And they said to Smith Wigglesworth that when he would come into a prayer meeting and begin to pray, the glory of God would be so strong that people couldn't stand up. And there was a pastor who heard about this and he said, oh, I don't believe that. Well, God put him to the test because he ended up in a prayer meeting with Smith Wigglesworth. And when Smith Wigglesworth began to pray, the glory of God was so strong that pastor, not only did he hit the carpet, but he ended up crawling out of the meeting on his hands and knees. And here's the thing, they said to him, what happened? And this is what he said. He said, when Brother Wigglesworth began to pray, there was too much of God in the room. That's the kind of enlargement I want. Anyone else? I don't just want bigger buildings and bigger programs and more numbers. I want there to be too much of God.
Yeah.
But who knows? That didn't come just by chance. Or he didn't just get lucky. No. He spent time in the presence of God, increasing his capacity for God. so that when he ministered, there was so much of God that it was too much for some people. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good problem to have.
Sure.
God, we want more of you. God, we want too much of you. I've got a friend in, and he was asking me, he was telling me about another preacher, another ministry. He said, oh, have you heard of such and such a guy? And I said, no, I've not heard of him. He's not from the UK, ministers in another country. This is what he said. He said, oh, he's the man who is known as the friend of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, what a thing to be known as. Not he's known as a great church leader or a great preacher or a great pastor or whatever. He's known as a friend of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, God, if I could be known as anything, that would be a good thing to be known as. Anyone here, you want to be a friend of God more than anything else. God, we're hungry for you. We're thirsty for you. When I started out in ministry, I just started out like many of you, just serving in my local church. I was, you know, 16, 17 years of age, and the pastor just asked me one day, look, would you help out with the kids' work? And that's what I did, and just done whatever I was asked to do ever since, you know, over 20 odd years ago now. The church that I was brought up in was a good church, a Pentecostal church, the Assemblies of God Church. And we would often talk about miracles and revival and the Holy Spirit. And we sung about all that stuff and prayed about it and preached about it. The only problem was we never saw it. So all my years kind of growing up there, I don't think I ever saw anyone healed or any kind of real outpouring of the Holy Spirit or anything like that. And I would read the Bible and I would read about people like Smith Wigglesworth and people like that. And I would say, God, I want to see it here. I want to see miracles in South Yorkshire. I want to see miracles in the north of England. God, I want to see your glory touch my community. So I know the young people that we get in on a Friday night, some of them from broken homes, from places where they've been abused, young people that have been broken and bound by all kinds of stuff. And God, I know it's only your power that can set them free. And so I would go into the church on an evening when no one was there. And I would just cry out to God, God, I want an encounter with your Holy Spirit. God, I need an encounter with you. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was working full-time for the church at that time. And some days were busy. But some days, I was just the youth leader or whatever. I'd not got the responsibilities of, senior leadership. So some days, I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a lot to do. Sure, that's not the case here. And so, you know what, I just go into my office, and I must have spent days, weeks, if you totaled it all up, months, just on the face, on the carpet, saying, God, I just want an encounter with you. Or I'll be in the Word, studying. What was happening? My capacity was being increased. My capacity was being enlarged. And I remember in 2007, it was in a Sunday night meeting, and there was an evangelist preaching. He was talking about how he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And that he was going all around the world seeing miracles, signs, wonders. And as he was preaching, I just thought, God, I would love an encounter like he's had. And I went to the front of the church, and he prayed for me, and he said, young man, you're about to have an encounter like I had. Well, it didn't happen right there in the meeting. What happened was I took a week off work and just put this little cottage in the middle of nowhere and said, God, I'm just going to pray and fast and seek you. And I'm not leaving until I've had an encounter with you. I did that for a week. I just worshipped and prayed and sought the face of God. On the fifth night, I was just on the sofa, just worshipping. And suddenly, the glory of God came into that room. And it was so powerful that I fell face down on the carpet. For about 3-4 hours, it was like liquid fire was filling me. The glory of God was so heavy and so strong. After a few hours, it just kind of lifted. And a few weeks after that, I was preaching in our church on Sunday morning, this church where nothing ever really happened. And I just shared that story. And I just said, look, church, for years I've been just praying and crying out. Maybe none of you know this, but for years I've been up in my office crying out for an encounter with God. And I think I've just had one. If you'd like one, why don't you come out to the front? And nearly the whole church came out to the front. And I thought, well, I don't know what to do now. So you thought, well, I'll just copy what I've seen other people do. And I went and laid hands on someone. And don't know who was more shocked, them or me, but that same power that had fallen on me in private suddenly fell on them. And one by one, people were ministered to by the Holy Spirit. There was a lady in that service with osteoarthritis who was miraculously healed by the power of God. And that started a little move of God in our little youth group. And we had some Friday nights where angels would come into that youth meeting and young people would encounter the presence of God. Young people started to come from the community and would meet with God in incredible ways. And then God started to open up doors for me to travel to different nations and all kinds of things. God began to enlarge my ministry. And God began to enlarge my influence, and God began to enlarge the miracles, and God began to enlarge the prophetic words, and God began to enlarge the souls being saved. But it all began by God enlarging me. It all began by God, me saying, God, I want more. Because it says in John that Jesus gives the Spirit without limit or without measure. So there is as much of God available to you tonight as you want. And the book of Hebrews says that he makes his angels winds, he makes his servants flames of fire.
Oh, shit.
And God is looking for men and women who are burning ones. And listen, you might not ever be an evangelist like Smith Wigglesworth who's going to preach around the world. But listen, you could be a Sunday school worker, but there's a fire on you that sets those young kids ablaze with the love of God. You could work serving drinks on a Sunday morning, but there's so much of the fire and the anointing and the love of God that just a smile or a handshake or a hello can impact someone. You remember when Mary was pregnant with Jesus and she came into the home of Elizabeth who was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary just said, greetings. And Elizabeth, it says the baby, John, began to kick in her womb. You know, you can be so full of Jesus, all you have to do is say hello and the Holy Spirit fills someone.
Come on,
Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to prophesy, and all Mary had done was say hello. You know, you can be serving behind the hatch on a Sunday morning and just say, hello, and you're so full of Jesus that depression can be broken off of someone. That anxiety can be broken off of someone. You could be on that door on a Sunday morning, just shake someone's hand and say, it's good to see you. And someone who's been having suicidal thoughts that week can suddenly encounter the love of God. Because you have so created capacity in you that you come into church and it's like all I'm doing this week is shaking hands, but you know what, there's too much of God on me for me to be limited just by that task.
Come on,
God, let's pray right now. God, would you increase me? God, would you enlarge me? Come on, why don't you stand with me tonight? Jesus. I wonder tonight, I think we did this last time, but Could we just move out and just kind of get in, make it spacious around here? Just kind of get into a circle, into a pan. I'm just kind of going in the middle. Well, just be relaxed right now. We don't need to do anything, be all spooky or anything like that. We're all family, the presence of God. But why don't you just close your eyes right now and just raise your hands right now in His presence. You know, I've really already quoted it, Isaiah 9, and the increase of His government and peace. Mm. There shall be no end. But where is His kingdom? Mm. Jesus said, the kingdom is in you.
Amen.
So actually, it's His government in me that needs to increase. It's His kingdom in me that needs to increase. How does that come? That comes through being yielded to Him, by being surrendered to Him. Another great healing minister, Catherine Coleman, said, there came a day when I yielded everything I had to Jesus. And that was the day I experienced true power.
Yeah.
She said, men may look for gold vessels and silver vessels, but God looks for yielded vessels. Mm. So let's just pray right now. God, I yield to you. God, I surrender to you. Evan Roberts, who was that spark in the Welsh revival, he encountered the fire of God in a little youth meeting. And his prayer to God was this: God, bend me. In other words, God, I yield to you. God, I surrender to you. Come on, just begin to pray right now. If you speak in tongues, just speak in tongues. God, I want to create the room. I want to create the space. I want to create the capacity for an encounter with you in my life. Just allow the Holy Spirit just to fill you right now. I just want to come and just very briefly just lay my hands on each person and just pray right now that you will be just filled afresh right now with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be filled right now. Be filled with more of Him. More of him. I just see right now God just placing eagle's wings on you right now. And those areas right now where the enemy's trying to hold you down, right now God's just causing you right now just to soar above those things. And I just hear right now God saying it's time for elevation. It's time right now to be lifted right now to that higher place. And God's going to cause you to soar right now. God, thank you. This man is a pillar, Lord God. And I just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Strength right now. Strength right now. Strength right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Nothing will uproot you because you're a pillar in His house. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, 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 Lord Jesus,
God let another joy of harvest time. Oh Jesus.
Just be a steward right now in the presence of God in your life. Be a steward of that anointing. Jesus. God, we ask for this. And the pool is, and there are different rivers flowing off of the pool. I just sense right now that this building that we're in right now is that pool of the presence of God. But there's not one river flowing out, there's multiple rivers.
Oh, yes.
And I just sense right now, as God doesn't just want to enlarge what happens in this building, but God actually wants to enlarge the rivers that flow out of this building. And I just see multiple rivers, multiple ministries and multiple outreaches, and just a bursting forth right now of the of the rivers of God flowing right now. So don't limit or restrict what God wants to do. This place will be a pool. A pool of his presence, a pool of a family, a pool of the gospel, but then there are rivers that are going to flow out of here. Multiple rivers. To the north, south, east, west of Rochdale and even beyond. God, let your rivers flow. Hallelujah. In fact, I think it's in the Greek where Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow. It's rivers, multiple rivers. Jesus, let your rivers flow.
Thank you, Lord.
One drink produces multiple rivers. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.